Good morning, Pastor Joe Brazino, and I am honored and have the privilege of bringing you the Word of God this morning. We have been on a series that I've really liked. It is kind of, I don't want to say it's pinned our ears back, but it's kind of put the needle on the record, if you know what I mean. And we've gotten into the nitty-gritty and the different dynamics of bitterness and how we, you know, the Scripture commands us to be free from bitterness and stay away from that and how much damage it does to us and how it stains our perception and it robs us of our sweetness, robs us of our charm, robs us of our loveliness, and, you know, robs us of our grace of speech. And we certainly want to avoid that at all costs. You know, we want to be good representatives for the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be a people of love. As the old hymn says, they shall know we are Christians by our love. So this morning, I'd like for you to take your Bibles. I've opened mine to Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew chapter 7, I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. And this morning, I want to explore the specific avenue of, you know, something that comes part and parcel with bitterness, and that is we cultivate a critical spirit. And, you know, Jesus addressed that directly. He addressed that. We're going to look at that here shortly, and we're going to examine what the Scripture says about that. And, you know, I want us to be encouraged, church family. I don't want us to, you know, just to feel like I'm just harping on you, or, you know, I don't know what you're going through, and you probably don't know what I'm going through. I'm in a good spot in life, thank the Lord, and I pray you are as well. But, you know, sometimes challenges come into our lives, and I know that this, you know, coronavirus, this season has just been unnerving to me. I'm frustrated, to be quite honest with you. I'm experiencing quarantine fatigue, and I'm ready to shake your hands and hug your necks, and I'll never take that for granted, trust me. And I can hardly wait to the day when we get to be with each other and, you know, gather together as God's people and worship our good Lord together and sing His praises together and fellowship and enjoy the blessing that God commands when there is unity among the brethren and the sister, okay? So Matthew chapter 7, we're going to look at having a critical spirit. We're going to read a very, very common verse of Scripture, probably one of the most commonly quoted verses of Scripture, even by non-believers. You know, the non-believers know a few Scriptures, not chapter and verse maybe, but they know the words, and this is one particular one that is often quoted by people who don't even know the Lord, all right? Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So notice what this verse says. It says, quite plainly, you know, you don't need the Greek language for this, even though we'll delve into it here shortly. Excuse me. It says, do not judge, flat out. Don't judge. Why at face value would the Lord tell us not to judge? Well, number one, because we, unlike Him, we don't have all the facts. We don't know what a person has been through. We have not walked a mile in their moccasins. We don't know the burdens they've carried. We don't know the challenges they've been through. We don't know the stuff that in life that they've been through. And so we've got to be very, very careful, church family, that we make sure that we love people as they are. We've got to learn to love people as they are and help them to see a better way to life. Can I get a witness on that, please? Amen? I say amen to that. You know, that's the love of Jesus, the royal command of love, that we should love one another as He has loved us. So, you know, number one, we don't have all the facts like God has all the facts. And, you know, interestingly enough, He who has all the facts reserves judgment till the end of our lives. Wow. Do you think maybe we could learn a little something from the Lord there? We who don't have all the facts sometimes are quick to judge. We rush to judgment. And, you know, I've caught myself several times doing that. And now I just slow my reactions and I say, Lord, You know, I don't know what they've been through. I can't say I've been through that. I can't say I've been through what they've been through. So I've got to be more merciful, okay? Now, let's get into the Greek language with regards to the word judge. The word judge is a Greek word krino, K-R-I-N-O, a long O, krino. And it means to select. It means to separate. It means to single out. Interesting, huh? When we judge someone, we're basically selecting someone out of a group. We are in our minds or in our hearts. We might not be doing it physically. We might not be doing it verbally. Most of the judgment that transpires in our hearts and minds. Amen. And so, you know, we in our heart, we cast a judgment about them. The word also means, listen carefully, to harshly criticize. Wow. So if we read Matthew 7:1, the way the Greek language defines that word, judge, it should read, do not harshly criticize that you be not judged. Interesting, huh? We are in no position to harshly criticize someone when we don't know the motives. Now, let me say here, and this is a fact of life, there are idiots out there. And you don't need the spiritual discernment to spot those out. Amen. You know, there you call a spade, and I'm cool with that. An idiot is an idiot. If it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, more than likely it is a duck. You know, I've said for many years in ministry, and here in this fall, in the month of October, I'll have been in ministry 30 years. Wow. That's a long time. And it takes the grace of God. I'll tell you right now that I've only done it by the grace of God. But you know, I've told many churches at different places this. I said, look, I can work with people. I can try to help them fix situations in their lives. But I can't fix stupid. You know, I can only work with it a little, only so long. Only God can fix stupid. But I can't fix stupid. And so, you know, we try to help people with that. But anyway, so here in this definition, it carries several connotations. One of them is to harshly criticize. Wow. Another one also means to, listen, to look upon with disapproval. Yikes. Can I ask you a question this morning? Have you ever experienced somebody in your life? Perhaps you were related to them. Perhaps they were a friend. Perhaps they were strangers, knew nothing about you, and yet they looked upon you disapprovingly. Do you remember the feelings of how that made you feel? Do you remember the resentment that created in you? Because someone asserted themselves unilaterally, they within themselves decided within themselves that you were not up to par according to their definition. Do you remember the feeling that gave you? Listen, I've been looked upon many times by many different people with disapproval. And I'm telling you, that stinks to high heaven. That hurts. Because they don't know my story. They don't know what I've been through. Once again, to that judgment definition. And so we've got to be very careful not to harshly criticize. Now, I've said before in my life, I had a black belt in having a critical spirit. I harshly criticized people. I never took their motives in heart. I never took their story into consideration. I remember one time I was having this conversation with a gentleman. He was a much older gentleman. I was a kid in my 20s. That'll tell you a lot about my intellect at that time. And I remember I was expressing a lot of disapproval to him. And I remember he looked at me with tears in his eyes and he just pleaded with me, can you please see it from my perspective? Well, see, that was the problem. I was not allowing myself to empathize with this gentleman. He had been through a lot in his life. And his daughter, kind of the situation, that's what the person in the family that centered around, the daughter had been through a lot. And I was just casting criticism and judgment. And, you know, he was compassionate toward me. You know, if it was me being him, I would have smacked me upside the head and woken me up. But and it even hurts to retell the story because I was judgmental. He pleaded with me to look at things through his eyes, and I didn't do it. Wow. Boy, have I repented over that one. Church family, we are not called to be the judge. Amen. We're not called to criticize. We're not called to express disapproval towards someone that we don't know what their story was. You know, I was talking with someone this past week, and they said that when they became pregnant, they had entertained the thought of abortion. But the mother intervened, and the reason why they entertained the thought of aborting their child in their womb was because the man didn't stick around. This person did not have a job. They were young. And thankfully, the mother intervened and persuaded the daughter to keep the child. Now, you know, that child's a beautiful a person, a beautiful being, obviously made in the image and likeness of God. But, you know, thankfully, someone was compassionate enough to reserve judgment in that situation and to listen without judgment and to listen without trying to, you know, argue with them or try to contradict what they were saying. They listened compassionately, and by the grace of God, they were able to have the desired outcome that they wanted. Now, I wonder how many people have reacted against someone like that in that very lonely position. You know, the father of the child is on world tour somewhere, his whereabouts unknown to the majority of civilization. And this poor girl, young girl, who had aspirations of a career, who had aspirations of a future, now is locked down with a child in her womb. And I've got to believe that's got to be a very lonely position in life. Well, you know, thankfully, there was someone who spoke grace and spoke peace. And by the grace of God, you know, they came through it. So thankfully, listen, if I have a choice between judging and criticizing and being merciful, I determined many decades ago, I'm going to err on the side of mercy. Amen. I'm going to err on the side of mercy, because the Bible says in James chapter 2 that mercy triumphs over judgment. There you go. Amen. All right. So now sometimes we can develop this critical spirit to where no one is good enough for us. We pick them apart. We find reasons to not like them. We find reasons to dislike them. We find reasons sometimes to strongly disapprove of what they're doing. And sometimes we are pathetically ignorant enough to communicate our disapproval of them. You know, friends, there is a right way to do things and there's a wrong way to do things. You know, if you don't approve of something, first of all, I think the best way to speak correction into somebody's life, I pray, is that we've done the work to develop a relationship with them. You know, this is my rule of thumb. If I have not done the work to establish a loving relationship with someone, I have no right to correct them. I must earn the right to speak loving correction. Now, friends, I'm gonna go to meddling here, but just because you're a Christian does not give you the right to clean somebody's plow, for you to up and clean somebody's plow or haul off and criticize them at your will. That does not give us a right. The Bible says in Romans chapter 15, verse 1, we should accept other brothers and sisters in their weakness. Accept, not judge. In chapter 14 of Romans, of the book of Romans, Paul the Apostle said, you guys need to stop judging each other. You need to stop criticizing each other harshly. You know, that's real stuff, and we've got to be very, very careful with that. And we should consider our words the way we would consider a loaded gun. I was reading today on my Facebook newsfeed that Michael Jordan, you know, they're doing this series on ESPN about The Last Dance and how he ruined another NBA player's career by calling him a midget because he was much shorter. And he said it with a lot of disdain. He said it with a measure of hate and put down to where it ruined that other guy's career. You know, friends, we can ruin other people's lives by the words of our mouths. James chapter 3 says, you know, I love the way James describes it, because he says, out of one side of the mouth, we bless God and we praise God, but on the other side of the mouth, we curse other people who are made in the image and likeness of God. And he said, my brothers, my sisters, these things ought not so to be. We must stop harshly criticizing each other. Okay, now that's one aspect of the message. Now there's a different aspect of the message that I would really like to delve in as well. And that is, do we harshly criticize the situations in life that we are in? Do we allow external bitterness to become internal within us? Go with me to the book of Exodus chapter 15, please, all right? Exodus chapter 15. I hope you're enjoying this message. I am. You know, if for nothing else, I need reminding of this, and I think we all do. And so, and since this is the concluding message, we want to finish strong. Concluding message of this series on overcoming bitterness. And so if you're in Exodus chapter 15, let me kind of give you a rundown of the chapter. The Israelites had crossed the sea, the Red Sea, by the grace of God. You know, he froze the waters, because the way the King James Version says, the waters were congealed. Well, congealed is another word for frozen, or maybe they looked frozen. And, you know, the good Lord can do it the way he wants to. He doesn't need my permission or my advice. But, you know, they crossed successfully, and they were on the other side of the Red Sea in the wilderness, that they begin to praise God and they begin to sing what the Bible calls the Song of Moses. And let me just kind of give you a sampling of it in verse 1. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name, Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. And it goes on and on, beautiful praises to God, and honoring him for this, one of the greatest miracles that he ever performed in the Bible. Now they're doing that, and then later you see that Miriam takes a tambourine and leads all the ladies in the camp to begin to praise the Lord and give him praises, all right? Now in the same chapter, I wish that's all it said in this chapter, okay? But it goes on to talk about how quickly they changed their tune from praise to God to complaining or harshly criticizing the external conditions they were in. Now can we talk about that, church family? You know, I've got to admit to you that there have been a few times that I got very, very frustrated with our government leaders, namely our state leaders, about their decision to prolong this quarantine. And I didn't think very fondly of them. I thought they were overstepping their bounds and of their jurisdiction and authority. And be that as it may, but I have had to check myself, you know, that I wouldn't harshly criticize the situation I was in. With me to verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Whoa, 3 days without water. Wow, that's significant. Okay, verse 23, when they came to Marah, the word Marah in the Hebrew means bitter. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, or bitter. Let me ask you this question. Do you find yourself, not unlike the Israelites, in a bitter place in life? Where your external circumstances, your external situation, your place in life is a very bitter place in life? Maybe it's problems with a boss. Maybe it's problems with a coworker. Maybe it's strife with your spouse. Yeah, that happens. You know, maybe it's problems with your kids, rebellious kids. Maybe it's somebody attacking you. You know, that happens. Satan can stir people up to come against you. I thank God for that verse of scripture that If God be for me, no one can succeed as my enemy. That's Romans 8, verse 31. If God be for me, and He is, and God is for you as well, no one can succeed as your enemy. Amen to that. I'll say amen to that. I've seen it proven out time and time and time again. And so here, maybe you're in a bitter place in life. Maybe you're in your own mara, in your own place of external bitterness. Now, let's read on in verse 24. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Now, what are they doing now? They allowed that external bitterness to get into them. Why? Because now they are harshly criticizing the place they're in. You know, this is very mind-boggling. The Lord had just delivered them from an army, the most powerful army in the world at that time, the Egyptian army, and yet they come to a place where there's no water, and instead of pleading with Moses to pray to God, they're complaining to Moses because of the external circumstances. So okay, I'm going to say this gently, but church family, are we complaining about the bitterness around us? Are we complaining that we're, and trust me, I've been there, okay, that we're going stir crazy, we're fit to be tied. We've got cabin fever and then some. And we are just beyond ourselves. Is that where we're at? You know, I understand. But you know, church family, I purposed when this happened that I was going to get closer to the Lord. Now that I have more time on my hands, since I can't go see people at the hospital, I can't go to the nursing home, I'm required to stay at home like you are. And so, you know, I read the scripture diligently. I pray more than I think I've prayed before. And seek God's will for my life. And I've chosen to see the positive in that instead of just being inundated with external bitterness and it tainting my heart and it tainting my thoughts to where my speech agrees with my tainted thoughts and my tainted heart or feelings, okay? So they start murmuring against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So Moses, verse 25, cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed Moses a tree. When he cast the tree into the waters were made what? They were made sweet. Isn't that beautiful? One tree they cast into a place of bitterness. And that one tree, miraculously, you know, I don't understand the ways of God. I think there's no scientific data that if you chop down a tree into bitter waters, all of a sudden, there are no properties in that tree that will sweeten the waters. But God performed the miracle. Now, here's the application. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Wow. Paul the Apostle called the cross a tree. I believe it is the cross, that tree, the cross, that has been applied to our bitter externals that can bring that bitterness and make it sweet. You know, let me say here, church, God doesn't always change the external circumstances, but listen, God can preserve your inner sweetness because of the cross. That is the tree that the Lord applies to our bitter places in life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can sustain you and keep a sweetness about you and turn your bitter water sweet? You know, sometimes the Lord changes the circumstances. Other times he protects our hearts and allows us to maintain a sweet disposition throughout bitterness, external bitterness in our lives. Do you believe that? I believe that. I've seen that happen. You know, God is good. And I want to encourage you with that, because now, listen carefully, the narrative is not done here. We're going to read on here, and we're going to bring this message to a close. It says here, so the tree was cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. This was the first test that God performed once the people were in the wilderness. and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. I love it. In the Hebrew, it reads like this. He is Yahweh Rapha. Yahweh Rapha. We normally pronounce it Yahweh, but it's Yahweh in the Hebrew. Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals us. Do you need healing from bitterness? Do you need healing in your inner life? Do you need healing in your heart from stuff that has happened externally to you, and somehow, because we're human, you know, we miss the mark? We allowed that external bitterness to poison our sweet waters, and it made our sweet waters bitter. And, you know, we need the Lord to apply the cross to our hearts so that that bitterness can in our hearts can turn back into sweetness like it did in this narrative. Notice carefully. It doesn't stop there. The Lord will heal us. Verse 27, then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So they camped there by the waters. They came to a place where externally there was drinking water, fresh water, living water. So, you know, my friends, I'm going to tell you this, and I want to finish this series on this note. You need the Lord who heals you. He'll heal you internally, but notice this. He will bring us eventually to a broad place, a place of drinking water, a place that season of bitterness will be over in your life. I believe now that I'm speaking by the Spirit of God to someone. Maybe it's you. Maybe you've asked the Lord, how much longer, Lord? How much longer do I have to tolerate this? How much longer, God? When, God, when? Why, God, why? When is this going to be over? Listen, I'm here to give you a word. The Lord will take you into external sweetness, into a place of broadness. No more narrowness in your life. No more pressure. No more strain. No more feeling like you're in a crock pot, in a pressure cooker, like you're having the screws tightened on you. No, you'll come into an open place of sweetness in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, Father, for a word of hope and promise. Lord, the last word you have on our lives is always a hopeful word, not a word of doom, Lord. You have given us a hope in the future through Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that you minister by your Holy Spirit to those on the other side, God, listening, soaking in this message. In Jesus' name, amen.